The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Explicit content may be heard throughout this podcast. Listening discretion is advised.
Would you dare?
What is up, Paraeeps? Thank you for tuning in this fine Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022, to listen to part two of the Haunted Forest Geek Search. We're down to two and one. What will they be? And keep listening. There may be a few bonuses in there. And now, time for the show. Number two, Randolph Forest, Maine, USA. Randolph, Maine was established in 1887. It's also always been rumored to be a hotspot for the paranormal. What do I mean by paranormal? Well, shadow people, disembodied voices, orbs, yeah, no, the usual. However, a lot of the stories seem to come up from the old narrow gauge volunteer trail. The trail is a bicycle path that was constructed near Kennebec Central Railroad that in the 1890s and 1920s actually transported goods and services along with their passengers to the nation's first veterans hospital at Togus. There was a volunteer organization, Maine Ghost Hunters, that they actually visited Narrow Gauge Trail to investigate the area. While they were there, they did interview some people and found out about a ghost riding a bicycle. The town calls Bicycle Larry. Bicycle Larry was rumored to have left the town and never came back. He was nicknamed Bicycle Larry because he was seen on his bike all over town. He had disappeared in 2004 at only the age of 55. Before Bicycle Larry disappeared, he was living with a 64-year-old Norris Perry. Norris decided to take his life in the winter of 2004. He had left a voicemail to his sister saying that he killed Farrell and that the body could be found in their home near the brook. Oh, plot twist, huh? The investigators actually went out there with dogs and a backhoe and anything else they could use to search for this body. But they never found him or his bicycle. This was just a modern story. But it's believed that there were more ghosts before this one happened and this one occurred. David Hopkins, who co-founds another paranormal group called Maine Ghost Hunters, and he also owns a shop of natural healing there. His paranormal group is Maine Ghost Hunters. He had gone out there with his dog, parked, and there was some trees that you could actually walk through. And he said that once he reached a point, it was just dead. There was not a sound. There was old pine trees, and it was really dark, even though the sun was shining bright. If you looked down to the right, there's almost like a hollowed out area by the stream. And he had gotten images of what happened there. Now that's pretty cool. And he goes on to say that there's something weird about the land. There's something that's just off. The trail in the forest that he was going on follows a brook. But he had followed it and found that it's not really maintained for people to walk on. There's also other haunted trails in Maine that you can go to, such as Silver Lake Trails, Catherine Mountain Trail, Scarborough Beach State Park, and Maine's Cliff Trail in Camden. So what do you guys think? Do you think old Bicycle Larry's partner or roommate killed him since he confessed to it? Or do you think he just maybe fell off his bike somewhere and died? There was a lot of people that have witnessed a lot of things in old Narrow Gauge Trail, and they say that they've heard footsteps, they've heard voices, they've even heard people calling out to them, screaming. Orbs, flashes, dark shadows, you name it, it's been there. And that feeling of dread, anybody that knows it, that's gone on investigations, that's had that feeling of dread, you know what I'm talking about. Number one, Pocomoke Forest, Maryland. Now, the reason I posted this one is because there's so many myths and legends about this forest. So many people claim that this forest is haunted. Think Blair Witch Project. Think, oh my God, creepy crawlies, puckwudgies, things like that. There's thick trees in this forest. There's ghost towns, swamps, rivers. I mean, this is the holy grail of hauntings to some people. I haven't been there, so I don't know. A lot of people do claim that there's an unsettling presence in the place. UFO sightings. Weird things happening. Hybrid goat man. There's been a tale of this girl that was waiting for her boyfriend out in the woods because they ran out of gas and he was going to get gas or try to find some help. She actually spent the whole night in the locked car. And fell asleep, even though she heard noises on the roof of the car. Oh my God. Can you imagine being out in the middle of nothing and it being night and you hear things? I probably would be investigating it. Oh, I know a lot of people that would be curled up in a ball in the floorboard of their car. Me, I don't know. If I was by myself, I don't think I would investigate anything that would sound really weird on top of the car. No, I probably would be taking pictures, but I don't think I'd get out of the car. But when she had woke up that morning, she had left the car and found her boyfriend's head resting on the trunk. The scratching noises that was heard was him actually scratching on the car as he tried to get help. Because something or someone had hung him feet first from a tree above the car. Oh my God. Everything comes from some kind of story. There's also another story about the place, about Pocomoke, where a busload of students actually go through Pocomoke because the bus driver decided to take a shortcut. Well, after getting out of the bus to check on the engine, the driver was never seen again. Nobody knows what happened to him. Just poof, gone. The legend states that there were sounds of people walking on top of the bus, on ghouls peeking inside the bus, and it terrified the kids. The teacher had every student close their windows, and the teacher went in search of the bus driver, only to find a skeleton in front of the bus. So the teacher got behind the wheel and drove the students back to school. Field trip over. Bye. Nope, I'm done for the day. Do not blame him. There's also a story of Samson Harmon, who was a ghost that refused to leave. Around 1830 to 1850, Furnace Town was a small town. It's an industrial town. In the smack center of Pocomoke Forest. Ghost town, anybody? The ore actually ran out and everyone had to leave. But there was one person that didn't leave, and that was Samson Harmon. He didn't want to leave the town. He loved it so much and had stayed there for so long that he stayed. Even after the last person before him left and abandoned the town completely, he stayed. It's said that he lived to be 106 years old, and he actually had left instructions to be buried in Furnace Town, but nobody respected his wishes. So maybe that's the reason he haunts the town. He is very well documented by a lot of different people about being the ghostly presence in the area. They also say that they've seen his ghost around a lot of cats that seem to have come into the area. Man, can you imagine seeing a bunch of cats in the middle of a forest? Yeah, that'd be kind of creepy enough as it is. They also say there's elemental spirits. A fireball that had actually saved a priest, a Bible that cannot be removed from a church in the forest. There are so many things going on in this forest that it's kind of very interesting. And on the final one that I think is interesting is the Goat Man that actually haunts the swamps of the area. They say that he is the Bigfoot of the Pocomoke Forest. That is one of the reasons I chose this one to be number one, because of all the different variety of paranormal that seems to be going on in this area. It's said that he has the head of a goat with huge horns and that he is quite nimble on his feet and eats small animals and fish. He seems to walk in places that nobody can walk without sinking. A lot of people have said that he runs through the swampy forest, that he, you can hear him as he steps on brush and twigs in the swamp. But, you know, that could be a deer or, you know, a small animal. But they say that if where they're hearing the twigs and the brush in the swamp is actual area that is nothing but mud and quicksand. An animal or man could not stand on it without sinking. So who is this goat man? Does it kind of ring a bell on his looks on who people think it might be? I don't know. Have to research it more and find out, along with the 14 other crazy, mysterious, awesome paranormal stuff that's going on in Pocomoke Forest.
Exploring the Paranormal Perspective will be right back.
Hey, this is Lee from the Dead Zone. I want to give a huge shout out to Shauna and congratulations on her new podcast, Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. You'll hear some amazing guests like me.
Whatever.
Paranormal and true crime stories and more. Catch her Wednesdays at 8 Central on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey, this is Shauna. Welcome back.
Bonus. I have some bonus force for you during this hour since the 2-1 didn't last 30 minutes.
Now we're going to take a whole hot skip and a jump right down to Virginia, where a ghost ship was reportedly seen with ghost pirates coming out of the woods. Zombies, anyone? Man, that would be a thrill to see a flipping ghost ship floating over land and into the forest. Kind of makes you think what was there before. It was in the late 19th century that the fishermen started reporting seeing this ghost ship come on land in White Oak Creek. It came ashore, sailed into the forest, where shadowy figures could be seen climbing down a rope and into the woods. These shadowy figures actually looked like crew members from a ship. They looked like pirate crew members. There was also another issue with the forest, as there was a home that was known as Franny Knight House. Now, it was reportedly haunted back in the Civil War. And there's a local legend. Remember, my theory and my opinion is that a lot of these legends and myths come from an actual story. The legend says the home actually set fire to itself, went out, caught fire again until it actually burned down. Is the house still there? No, it burned down. But there is another old creepy house there in the woods. There's actually 50 acres of forest land in the area, all near the Chesapeake Bay, and it's said to be a refuge for the ghost of the 18th century. British soldiers, pirates, anyone who passed through the port back in the day in the old port town of Matthews is said to haunt this location. Pirates that may have buried chests in the area. Off Haven Beach Road, there is a homestead. An old dilapidated colonial house that burned to the ground Friday night. Of all the sightings in that area, that house is said to be the most intriguing of them all, and it was reported by fishermen. The fishermen also reported the ship floating along on the creek, and then onto the shore, and then into the woods, and then the crew members just coming out. Where were they going? Why did that ship go onto the shore? Was there water there at some point? It's just really amazing to hear about it because a lot of people reported seeing this and seeing the house.
So there was actually a person that actually witnessed some things in the old house woods. Actually, a professor. The Matthews Historical Society set up a shindig for Matthews native and professor Rosalind Hammond. Now, this was for a discussion on the old spooky house, the old house woods area. Professor Hammond describes a night in the summer where she had one of the spookiest nights she ever had over a little over 40 years ago. She had done a doctorate research into folklore back in the 70s. As part of her doctorate in the 70s, she did some research into the folklore and the old spooky stories of Matthews County. She went into the forest and on into the marshlands around the digs area. This area is known for its bizarre encounters and mysteries. Professor Hammond is retired from Bowling Green University. Plus, she was a dean of the university. And she came out to Matthews County Historical Society to share her experience. Her account of her research tells of the ghostly ship coming onto shore from Chesapeake Bay and the crew members climbing down off the rope. There's some others that talk about the Redcoats being in the forest and burying colonial treasure, along with men actually digging for treasure out in the woods, out in the forest. And back then, when she went out into the forest, they dressed up in heavy clothing to protect themselves from the mosquitoes and bugs. Now, here's a direct quote from Hammond herself. "We were more worried about water moccasins and copperheads than anything," she said. "It was extremely hot, dark, and clammy. The full moon made the light flash off of the moss on the trees, making it even more eerie." They were only there for about an hour and a half, but she said it felt like it was much longer than that. They didn't find the old cow hole, where the treasure is supposed to be. And she didn't see any ghosts. But she was still spooked being out there. There's actually a book by L.B. Taylor Jr. called The Ghost of Tidewater that has stories of old house woods in them. Also in George Hulbert Tucker's Virginia Supernatural Tales. And there's other compilations of Virginia ghost stories in Tucker's book as well. In Taylor's book, there is a story of a woman called the Storm Woman. And the legend is about a woman who's kind of fair-haired in a nightgown who appears when a gale comes in off the bay. It rises above the treetops to shriek a storm warning to watermen. So this spirit is said to come off the coast of the bay in her nightgown to soar high above the forest and scream a warning. Is that really what she's doing? Is she screaming a warning, or is she screaming about her being dead? I probably would be screaming about me being dead. Other people have encountered armored covered skeletons with swords and headless men searching for their lost love and ghost horses and cows. I'm sorry. And ghost horses and cows that seem to appear one moment and then disappear the next. Like they're trying to form and be like, I'm here, moo, I'm here. But then they can't hold the form. There's a lot of history and there's a lot of legends going on in this town. And a lot of the folklore actually have a little bit of truth in it. The forest there is pretty much undisturbed. And it's right there on the water. And what do they say about hauntings near water? What do you guys think? Do you think there's pirates coming off of the bay, or red coats burying treasure, or even the occasional moo heard every now and then? I don't know. Maybe. One thing to add to Old House Woods in Matthews, Virginia, I watched a YouTube video of some investigators that had went into the forest there, and they had found an old abandoned house. Well, while they were standing next to the house, they heard a knock, and they looked over his shoulder, and he takes off while she's sitting there laughing, and it was from the inside of the house. She just saw him, and the way he looked and just the way he turned and walked away was pretty funny. I'll have a link in the blog once I get it up. But that is just one of your bonuses. Old House Woods in Matthews, Virginia. I'll be right back after this commercial break.
Millions of people are affected by the Para-X bug.
I realize that it is something that will stay with me for the rest of my life and long into the afterlife as well.
If you have the Para-X bug, there is hope.
With a nightly visit to the Para-X website and intensive past life regression therapy, I can control it.
Even with the Para-X bug, I can still lead an active life of radio show hosting, paranormal investigating, evidence checking, attending conferences, book writing, keeping up with the latest technology, and still keep my 40-hour-a-week day job.
If you think that you have the Para-X bug or know someone who might, visit para-x.com. And remember, you are not alone.
I am not alone.
I
am not alone.
The Para-X bug may cause the urge to chase shadow people, visit exotic haunted locations, adopt a pugwudgie, or spend all of your time trying to figure out the laws and principles of paranormal investigation. Listening to Para-X may increase these effects.
Sudden visions of full-body apparitions or feeling the covers being pulled off you in the middle of the night by unseen hands may also be signs of exposure to the Para-X bug.
The use of Para-X may be habit-forming, and an overwhelming desire to provoke spirits may be a serious side effect. If these symptoms last more than 4 hours, you should quickly consult a trusted witch and have her cast a "What the hell are you thinking?" spell on you. If symptoms persist, please contact the Para-X Radio Network Homeland Security Team for further instructions.
The Para-X bug may cause urges for late-night speaking with spirits and ghosts. Listening to Para-X may increase these effects. Overwhelming desire to try provoking a spirit may be a serious side effect. Those with Para-X bug effects lasting more than 4 hours should consult Para-X or see a professional. Sudden outbursts at the mention of orbs may be a sign of exposure to the Para-X bug. Use of Para-X may be habit-forming. Use caution when engaging in Para-X chat.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio and the all-new Para-X Vision can help. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio and Para-X Vision, programming for the open mind.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Schott, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Throughout time, events have occurred that have shaped human history. Spirit voices from the past have many stories to tell, and for the past several years, channelers Barry and Connie Strom have been conducting live channeling sessions and relaying those stories and messages from those on the other side. We invite you to tune in to Barry and Connie's new show, Channeling History, on the Para-X Radio Network, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as they relay the messages of those voices from the past, the ones who have witnessed history firsthand, and those who have made history themselves.
Hi, this is Marla Brooks from Stirring the Cauldron. Thursdays are a great night on the Para-X Radio Network. We start off the evening with Journey into the Light, Chapter 3, with your hosts, Psychic Little T and Tabby Cat Gash, at 7 p.m. Eastern. Then, on the first and third Thursdays of the month at 8 p.m., it's Tango and Friends, hosted by Bruce Tango. And on the alternate Thursdays at 8 p.m., tune in to Stirring the Cauldron, the Archive Podcast. Every week at 9 p.m. Eastern, join me on Stirring the Cauldron Live. And then at 10 p.m., stick around for New Aeon Now with Lily Alley, Davron Michaels, and Christine Matza. Finally, to round out the night, join Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz on the Paranormal Encounters podcast. All this, every Thursday, right here on Para-X.
That's from the world.
Dead Zone WDCR-TV.
Where metal and the paranormal collide.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps It Takes Two to Tango. Well now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
Hey, this is Shauna. Welcome back. Next bonus, we're going to Santa Fe National Forest in Torero, New Mexico. I hope I said that right. Torero, New Mexico. When you think of New Mexico, do you think of forests? Hills, mountains, lots of greenery. Because it's right next to Arizona, a lot of people may think of it as desert areas. Well, welcome to the Holy Ghost Campground in San Miguel County, Torero, New Mexico, in Santa Fe National Forest. The campground is actually ran by the Santa Fe National Forest. And if you were to go to this campground, be prepared. And if you're a paranormal investigator, you might enjoy it quite a bit, as they say the campground is haunted. It's about 14 miles northeast of Santa Fe. Now, if you're heading from Pecos, take New Mexico 69 north down in Erie. Narrow road for about 13 miles. Then you'll see a sign that says, Holy Ghost to the left. From there, you're going to go down an even creepier road. And that is Forest Service Road 122, about 2 miles. And then you'll reach the campground. A lot of stories talk about a priest killing the Pueblo people that had settled on the land back in the 17th century. And then other tales talk about the Pueblo people killing the priest because they were defending themselves. The camp is set upon Holy Ghost Creek, so it's right near water. Water, again. It also offers hiking trails and tons of nature view. And if you look at some of the pictures, they're actually really beautiful. It's a really beautiful place. Santa Fe, New Mexico was established in 1607, so it's gotta be one of the oldest cities that was founded. Indians, Spanish, Mexicans, pioneers, a whole bunch of people led the city to be actually one of the most haunted cities in America. It's said that the city is built over to non-Indian village. So, Indian burial grounds. The city also offers ghost tours, ghost walks all year round, and usually has about 5 operators that conduct the tours. They focus on a 10-block historic area, and they try to enhance more on places like La Posada and La Fonda Hotels, Grant Corner Inn, Palace of Governors, the oldest house in the nation, and a lot of other historic buildings there. There's also a lot of superstitions, vigilantes, gunfights, murders, and hangings that are told along this tour as well. To tell you a little bit about Santa Fe, New Mexico, is telling a little bit about New Mexico itself. There's a lot of history in this city, in this state. But in the forest of Santa Fe National Forest, there was a Spanish priest that was actually murdered on the campground in the 17th century, and he haunts it. The area was deemed the Bermuda Triangle of New Mexico by one of the tour guides. They've seen UFOs, they've heard odd sounds, there's been a lot of disappearances and nothing found. It's kind of an eerie place, and it seems there's quite a few different Bermuda Triangles all over the country here. You can go to the website at explorenm.com/camping/Holy Ghost, and you can read a lot of the stories that are written on the pages. There was one that was posted on July 13th. And it spoke in 2008, and it spoke about them going to Holy Ghost and Jack's Creek because it's got great views and cool nights. They stay at Jack's Creek, but since the incident, in quotes, back in 2005, they tend to stay at Jack's Creek because of the incident, in quotes, back in 2005. They went with a small church group, and they had taken 2 campsites near the second bridge. In the middle of the night, a group of bikers had shown up and tore the tents up pretty darn good. But it said that they took off with 3 18-year-old girls and 1 19-year-old guy. During that time, they said that the bodies were actually found in Las Vegas, New Mexico, with their heads closer to Wagon Mound. So they were decapitated. But the issue wasn't the fact that people were taken and murdered. They were more worried about wailing and screams at night that were unearthly. Okay, all right, you didn't mind that much. Wow. Some of these stories are pretty, my goodness. I think I would have minded if some people that I knew were taken, kidnapped, and then murdered. So apparently not only was a Spanish priest killed by the Pueblo Indians, but church group slaughter had occurred in 2005. Wow. Now that's something I'm going to have to look into. Somebody mentioned it later on in the story and said that those poor kids were found from Pecos all the way up to Wagon Mound. Heads were just tossed along the road. Oh my God. Now, we all know that foxes' barks and stuff can sound like women screaming in the woods. So it would be better to try to investigate and see if there are foxes in the woods so that you can confirm whether or not there is a ghostly presence in the woods or at the campsite, or if it's just a fox. Somebody had posted to that comment on the church slaughter stating that they were there when the slaughter happened. And it just happens so fast. Gosh, that's so sad. But if you want to read more about it, you can go to that website and you can get some of the creepy stories that have happened at the Holy Ghost campsite. So what do you think? Do you think it was a Spanish priest that was murdered there by the Pueblo Indians? Think anything else may have happened at the campsite that nobody knows about because of the hush-hush? Well, that's your second bonus. That's all I got for you tonight. I cannot wait to go down the rabbit hole on all of these forests to see if I can find out more. What did you guys think? Go ahead and leave me a comment over at Exploring the Paranormal Perspectives Facebook, or you can go to my website at www.exploringtheparanormalwithgeeksparanormal.com, the podcast, and to see upcoming stuff that's going to be happening. Everything is going to be updated soon. I know I keep saying that, and I promise it will. It's going to be updated soon. You're going to be able to get all the shows that I have done. You're going to be able to see all the blogs, all the writings, the videos. You'll be able to see clippets of it. The actual full-length version, it's going to be on my Patreon page. So please come and subscribe to my YouTube channel at Geeks Paranormal. Come and follow me on Facebook. Come and follow me on the Twit, on the Insta of on the Gram of Insta, on the Tube of You, on the Rumble, on subscribe, like, follow, do what you gotta do to stay in touch with me, to ask questions for upcoming guests that I have or previous guests that I've had in the past. I am more than willing to be able to take your question, listen to it, send it to the guests, and then speak it out loud on the next show. So please, thank you guys so much for listening to me ramble on about these haunted forests, on my conspiracy theories, on my thoughts and my opinions, and I would love to know yours. So hit me up. Thank you guys. You're listening to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. I am your host, Shauna. You guys have a wonderful rest of the week and have a wonderful weekend coming up.